everything that we celebrated this weekend is so the center and the core of everything we do. And today, I hope everything that we share together, that it will help to hold on to the core of our faith. Jesus is the triumphant. We are talking about what they used to have in an old building. We used to have a bank, a lot of banks, but now they're all online. This week I had to fill in some papers, not online, but I kind of had that feeling of an old bank when the bank was still in the old place. The guy from the bank invited two people from Drulton who had borrowed money from him, one for a kitchen and one had lent money for the company. And the guy, the bank owner, said that they didn't have to pay their they didn't have to pay back their loan. Anyways, which of the men came home happiest, do you think? The one, of course, that had lent the most money because he was allowed to keep all of his money. It's my own example, of course, because this is an example that Jesus used. It's not my example, of course. It didn't really happen here in town, but we know Jesus gave this example himself. Those men had debt. We all have debt. There are things in your life that you are guilty of. We go through life with guilt. And guilt can be a very big problem when you are in a relationship and something goes wrong. Sometimes in your relationship you are guilty. We have big problems and small problems. It doesn't matter how much guilt, everyone has to deal with guilt. But of course, and we always say, the person that is forgiven the most guilt is of course the happiest. There's something about being freed and feeling free once your guilt is gone. We are going to read something from the book of Matthew, I thought he said. Not totally sure. Luke 7. Verse 37. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of a Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 5,000 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I would like to look at the story of the woman. I'm going to reconstruct the story of her life. We are going to learn four things about her answer to the forgiveness that Jesus gives her and what we can do with it. First of all, the woman living in Israel, a Jewish family. She was born and raised in a Jewish tradition. Every year, she celebrated Pesach. She would sit at the table with her father and her mother and her brothers and her sisters, and they would eat from the Pesach meal, the Passover meal. And she would ask why we do this, and they said, "We celebrate this Passover because the Lord has saved us from the Egyptians." Every year again, they celebrated Passover. She grew up with the idea that an innocent lamb was slaughtered for their freedom, and that they did not fall under the judgment that the Egyptians had, that 10th plague where every eldest son was killed. And if they had put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, they would not suffer that terrible fate. And that's how she grew up every year again. She grew up, she became a teenager, and she played with the boys and the girls, and she had a good life. And once a year, they celebrated Yom Kippur, that is the Day of Atonement. And there they saw that the high priest would take a lamb and he would put the sins of the people on a lamb and send him out in the wilderness. You can read it in Leviticus 16. All of the things, all of the sins of the Israelites, he put upon this ram. And he sent the ram in the wilderness. Every year, she saw this lamb being sent out into the wilderness during the great day of atonement. This atonement had everything to do with a relationship with God, renewing this relationship. And every year she realized how old she was, that all her sins were on a lamb and sent in the wilderness. And that was her youth. She grew up. She made a number of choices that people that her lifestyle and the things she did wasn't really the right choices. She didn't make choices that she should. Her family didn't really have a relationship with her, but her mother did always have a relationship with her. And long time ago, her mother told her that she met a man. His name was John the Baptist. And she told her daughter that people came there, to be baptized. And John was there, and it was special, and that John introduced this man, and he saw Jesus, and he had said, "There is the Lamb of God." The mother told the daughter how special that was, that he said, "This is the Lamb of God who took the sin of the world." And the girl asked, "Who did he look like? What did he look like?" She said, "I don't know. It's just a regular man, not anything unusual." And with that story, she continued. Then she went to a house in Capernaum. It was completely full. What on earth was going on in that house? She kind of got herself in there. And then she realized that there was a speaker in the house and there was a lot of noise. And she saw that someone had broke a hole in the roof. And somebody was dropped, a man, down through the roof. And she was wondering, what on earth is this? She was so surprised. And she was like, what is going on here? And then she heard the speaker say, "When I saw your faith, your sins have been forgiven." But he didn't stop there. But the man stood up out of his bed and he walked away. Something woke up. She tried to make a connection. And life went on. And the days went by. And then she was invited to a party with all kinds of people, sinful people, all the outcasts. And there she was welcome. And how life was tough. She felt at home with the outcasts. And at that celebratory event, the party was at this guy named Levi. He was a tax collector. And there she saw the man that she had seen in that house where the man was lowered out of the roof. Jesus had answered, "Healthy people do not need a doctor, but sick people do. I am not come here for the righteous." And all of a sudden, she realized why he was there. And he was there for her. She met Jesus personally. And everything that happened in her life and all the choices she made. And he forgave her. She saw the love in his eyes. And she saw that he saw her. And now she's here. It could have gone like this. This could have been the story of her life. And she's in that house. And she went to Jesus. And Jesus tells her an example. And the example is for her, and the example is for Simon. And if you look at verse 42, where Jesus says, because they cannot repay their debt, he canceled it. Jesus used the word guilt. And that means that the Lord canceled it means mercy and the love she shows. And he said, the person that was forgiven the most would love him the most. Simon also had a choice. Maybe there was less to forgive, but he also could accept Jesus' forgiveness, but he didn't. Maybe he thought, I'm just going to keep an eye on him. And that's why he was following him. But it doesn't say anything about the situation of Simon. It only says the situation about the woman. She comes from behind. He's laying at the table. And she stands behind him. And what she does is four things. First of all, when she sees him, she knew that she was forgiven. She came with a plan. She wanted to give an answer to her forgiveness. She kneels before him. And she cries and cries. But if you've ever seen wetness falling on feet, dirty feet, they become wet. The second thing she does is dry her feet with her hair. And actually, it's a symbol of washing. And then she kisses his feet. And finally, she pours perfume over his feet, and she balms them. And those four things are symbols. The crying is a sign of happiness and sadness and mourning over your sins. We are happy, but we are also sad for our sins. We are happy because I'm so thankful that God is here for me. And when she uses her long hair to dry the feet, then the long hair is a sign of dedication. His hair in Samson was not allowed to be cut. When your hair is your dedication to the Lord. And then she kisses his feet. We may give us our love to God. We may express our love. And when she throws oil over his feet, it pours oil over his feet, it is pure worship. Love and worship as answer to the forgiveness. And the story continues, of course. And in the end, he will be sacrificed as the Lamb of God on the cross. In Psalm 40, I think it's so important that we realize that. It says, "You do not wish for sacrifices. I can say, here I am, Lord. In me, you can find my name in the book of life." Here you can see in Psalm 40, that Jesus says, "I am the Lamb that will free the world from their sins, and I do it. I do it on my own. I volunteer my life to be crucified through my hands and my feet." And that is the sign for always that you will see in Jesus. There is a song in the song from Casting Crowns, are the only scars in heaven are the scars in your hand and feet. Jesus chose for that voluntarily. And just like the high priest had put all the sins on the sheep, all the sins and all the guilt was put on the Lord Jesus. We didn't need any more sacrifices. The only one we needed was the sacrifice from Jesus. And that, people, is about us. And I hope that we all feel forgiven and that we have accepted the forgiveness and that we said, "I believe it." And if that's not the case, then the moment is there. Where else do you give your heart to the Lord than in the church? But the example of this woman is about us. Just like Simon had a choice, she also has a choice, and we all have a choice. We live as Christians, and we know about sins, and we know that we make mistakes. We know that we are guilty of things, and we need to forgive people like they need to forgive us. But the answer is in Jesus. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "God gives freedom to all those who believe in Jesus." There is no difference between people. We're all the same. And everyone will be declared righteous through his mercy. Jesus is the redemption. Without Jesus' redemption, we do not have a relationship with God. He will forgive us our sins of the past, and he will count us as righteous. Everyone that believes in Jesus. The answer to forgiveness is for us all. And if we go back to this woman, it's an example, then we ask ourselves, do we cry when we meet Jesus of happiness? Are we sad when we meet Jesus because of our sins? Do we dry his tears with our hair? He gave this woman, he forgave her for her sins because he knew he was going to die on the cross. We, of course, come after that. If you think about your relationship with Jesus, do we have the dedication that this lady had? Do we use our hair to dry his feet? Are we dedicated? Do we kiss his feet? Do we show our love for Jesus? You have showed me so much love. The lady has shown him so much love. Do we do that? Every day, show our love to the Lord. Every day, speak of our love. And I discovered the more I do that, the closer I feel and the more relationship I have with God. And that I may call him my Heavenly Father and the worship. The oil that came from the bottle that was poured over his feet is the worship. And that may also be an answer. When we sing, when we express ourselves, however you worship him, because you are forgiven, because together we are all guilty. I would like to pray, and then we are going to sing, and then we're going to do what Jesus asks. We will give our answer to forgiveness in worship. Thank you, Father, that we may come to you, that we may have a relationship with you, and that the answer to forgiveness, our answer to forgiveness, may be given to you every day. That we may be impressed by the sacrifice you volunteered. You did not let the cup pass, but you drank it completely empty. When we meet you, Lord, we can see the signs in your hands and your feet. And they are signs that make us happy. And they will let us continue to be focused. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, your answer to forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness every day again. Amen.